Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our mind and our heart that we might understand, so that we will turn to you and live.
Well, friends, this Sunday, and as Brendan has already mentioned, this Sunday and the coming Sundays are going to look a little bit different. Part of this is because as we were beginning to think and discern about what it looks like to transition from Venable into our new space at 830 Monticello, we recognized that we didn't want to just rush through this. How we move is as important, if not in some ways, I would argue, more important than the move itself. I just am deeply convicted that everything in our lives is formational. It's forming us into a certain kind of person. And so how we as a community embody and step into this move is also, in its way, formational. We are a church and we are a community that has a story. We are a church and community that has a history of God's work in our midst. Some of you have been here for large portions of it. Some of you are just coming in on this chapter. But we want to honor it. We want to hold it. And so one of the things that we're going to do over the coming weeks is to look back in order to look forward. But recognizing that usually by the end of the liturgy, most of us, especially those of us with kids, are ready to get out of here. We want to give some information about our move on the front end following the gospel reading and the children's sermon in the coming weeks. So I'm going to do that now, and then we're going to move into what our normal rhythm is going to be over these coming weeks. So we have a number of slides on the back. The first is I wanted to let you know that we have created a page on our website. If you go to allsoulsseville.com/move. So this way you're not going, okay, what email was that date in? And now the date's maybe changed and different and all the... And so this is a one-stop shop for where you can get all the information you need regarding anything around the move. The registration links are the same that you'll find on Church Center and all of those things, but now we have one place where we're posting, and then we're disseminating information from that one source. So that's the first thing. I also wanted to highlight, that's on our website, and again, almost everything I'm going to share with you today is also there. The second thing is a few key dates, which are coming up quicker than we realize. So on April 29th, which is going to be in just a few Saturdays, we are having an outdoor work day and a donation pickup. So Craig Swift and Keith Page have led the way in helping us come up with some ways of making the outdoor space even more beautiful than it currently is. And this is going to be a moment that if you enjoy gardening, if you enjoy spreading mulch, making things beautiful, or you just like being outside, or you just want to be with friends, then we're asking you to sign up and come that Saturday. We'll have pizza provided, so we do need you to register. Let us know what tools you're bringing, and we have a registration for this day on the table in the lobby as well. So you can sign up online, or you can sign up on the paper sign up in the lobby. If you do it in both places, we'll catch it. But please be sure that you sign up. And then also, if you have anything that you're donating to the building, we're donating a fridge. I know some people are donating couches for the youth room. That's also going to be the Saturday that me and one of our deacons is going to get a U-Haul, and we're just going to make the routes, and we're going to pick up those donations on that Saturday. April 30th Saturday is the work day. April 30th is our last Sunday in Venable. We've already given notice, and Venable knows. We've given notice both to our offices and to this space that will be our last day in both those spaces. By God's grace, we have introduced them to friends of ours in the community who will be taking over those spaces. So another church will be coming in here, and a counseling ministry is going to be going into where our offices currently are. But that's going to be a big Sunday, because not only is it our last Sunday, but this is going to be one of those kind of all-hands-on-deck moments for us to move as a community. I'll talk about this in a second. Here's what we're not going to do. We are not going to rent one big U-Haul, and the staff and a few key volunteers are going to stay after and load everything up in order to get it done. So what we're asking for is if you have a large vehicle, whether that's an SUV or a pickup truck, if you would let us know and if you would be willing to help us move all the Sunday equipment as well as stuff from the office from there to our new building. We're going to do that on Sunday, and we're going to have pizza as well on that day. It's a church thing, so it's just all pizza. So we're going to be doing that. We're also asking everyone to help. And so before you leave on that Sunday, we're asking everybody to help move stuff out from the cabinets into the cars, for a group to meet over at the offices to help load things up. The staff has begun packing up the office. What we're going to need help with is a lot of the bigger items. And so we're going to ask for groups to help us do that. And again, those signups are online as well as in the back. May 7th, friends, is going to be our first Sunday in the new space. We don't know what condition it'll be in. If you've ever moved into a new home, you know it takes time to move into a new home, and that's great. In many ways, that's where the memories are built, and that's where the fun comes. If everything's done, great. It's probably not going to be. And whatever it is, we're going to go in, and it's going to be a good Sunday. We're going to celebrate along the way, and so for that Sunday, we're going to have Carpe Donuts available beforehand. And that is, in some ways, our way of going, hey, we're sorry we haven't been able to do that the last three Easters, and so I want you to eat three Easters worth of donuts on May 7th. At least I will. May 14th will be our second Sunday in the space. That is also Mother's Day. And then May 21st is our big day, because we're going to hold a consecration service. It's a liturgy for consecrating a new space, as well as a celebration potluck after that we've invited Belmont Baptist to. So we'll be in the space, we'll bless the new building, and then we'll make our way to eat a good old-fashioned potluck together. All Souls is going to provide some form of main course, and so again, we need to know if you are available to come. You can sign up online or in the lobby. And I'm going to quit saying those two caveats with sign up and just trust that all of you can remember. Great. All right, so those are the key dates. The next part is there are a few ways to get involved. And let me say this. Every church goes through different seasons. Every organization does. Every family, person, individual goes through different seasons. There isn't one season that's better than the other. They're just different. But it's important to know what season you're in. For a church, there are seasons of growth and movement outward. There are seasons of healing and movement inward. There are seasons when a few do the bulk of the work, and seasons when the vast majority of the people do the work. And God is not anxious about whatever season we're in. God isn't anxious about the next season. God isn't anxious about our movement between them. In fact, the Holy Spirit always knows best what season we're in, what season is needed. And each season comes with its own consolation, with its own desolation. And again, one's not better than the other. It's just different. And we are coming out of a season where a few people have carried very well our community. There are a handful of people who have carried our community so well through these pandemic years. But we are moving into a season, and this isn't just about the move, but really at a very higher level. Friends, we are moving into a season where we need everyone and anyone to help. And like so many of you, that small group of people who have carried people so well, some of you are in here now, are weary. Some of them will need others to step in so they can step back and find rest. And some will need women and men to come alongside them to carry the burden. But what I've just described there, those movements, is what it means to be at the heart of the people of God. And so the invitation before us is not to sit back and to watch a few people do it, but to roll up our sleeves and to work alongside God and work alongside one another. And even thinking through this, we're thinking through this on every level of how do I, even as the senior pastor, make myself dispensable so that not everything rides on me, not every question you have comes to me or comes to, but how, I think we're moving into a season where we give power and authority and responsibility and creativity away to equip you and the gifts that you bring to this that is Christ Church. And so four invitations before us this morning, and four ways in which I want to invite you to get involved. The first is to pray with us. And I really mean that. That isn't just, I'm a pastor, so I have to lead with prayer. I actually believe prayer changes things. And so I would ask you to be praying for our community in this season of transition. I'll let you know what I'm praying for. I'm praying that through this transition, I preached on it a few weeks ago, that we would become more holy like Jesus. And what I mean by that is we would become more ourselves. There would be no duplicity in who we are as a church and who we are as individuals. That what we say, we do, that we would become holy as we become more genuinely loving. We'd be marked by self-giving love. That we become holy by becoming more and more surrendered to God. So pray for our community. Pray for our staff, our leaders, our elders, and our deacons, and our volunteers. These are the group of women and men who have worked so tirelessly to carry our community. And it's one of the things, one of the reasons why I've slowed us down is because we can't do this at the cost of people. We have to steward people above all else. So please be praying for our staff, our leaders, our volunteers, and also be praying for the final details of the building and the move. As you know, anything like this never goes smooth. So pray with us. The second is to serve with us. If you've ever been a part of a move, most of us have probably been a part of a move where no one showed up to help us move. Anybody? And you're just like, okay, no one likes me and I have to move this all myself. Okay. And then there are other moves that you show up and you barely touch anything. I remember in 2015, we were living up in Maryland, church planting, and I had my first and hopefully last heart attack. It was not a great season. And our church showed up. I don't think, Shelby, we moved a thing. We barely packed up. And just the overwhelming embodiment of God's love and care for us. And so wherever you can, I would invite you to serve. The third thing might be one of my favorites, to party with us. Jesus was accused of being a drunken and a glutton. I don't think because he avoided parties. I think because he was Adam. One of my favorite moments in the new series, The Chosen, is when Jesus gets up and dances and his disciples don't know what to do with a dancing Jesus at a wedding. We need more of dancing Jesus. I mean that. We live in a world that is dominated by a vision of scarcity, and we need to know that God's abundance is here. And then the final thing is not only to pray with us, to serve with us, to party with us. I mean that. We're trying to come up with some creative ways to party together. But the final one is to remember and to reimagine with us. And that brings us to the next part. Beginning today, we're moving into our final weeks at Venable. Our hope is not to rush into this new space, but again, to transition well and intentionally. And to that end, beginning this Sunday, running all the way up into May 21st, we are going to give our attention to the different spaces that we have inhabited as a worshiping community. And we're not turning our attention to these spaces for nostalgia's sake, because it's about looking back that we might move forward, to look back about how God has formed us in these spaces. As Eugene Peterson says, place is not just a side of reality in our life. It's a part of God's creation of humanity and the world that shapes us and makes us who we are. This is about looking to who God made us so that we might step into a more full expression of who we are. And so each Sunday, we're going to look at how God formed us in the different spaces. And on the next slide, John, I think we have. Keep going. There you go. Today, we're going to talk about a church, what it means to be a church that cherishes others. Along the way, we've invited storytellers, women and men who are still here, who were a part of our community then, to come forward to share a few stories about what that time was like and how God formed us. Today, we're going to look at the Collier's Home and City Space. Next week, it'll be a church that cherishes beauty during our time in Eunoia, a church that cherishes place, our move here to Venable. May 7th will be a church that cherishes simplicity. That's our move during COVID to Zoom and Waldorf. May 14th will be a church that cherishes embodiment. That's our move back to Venable. And then May 21st, which is our consecration Sunday, we will stand in our new building in the next stage of our journey together. And the rhythm that we're going to follow every Sunday is this. We're going to look to Jesus. We're going to look with Jesus to what Holy Spirit has done in our community. And then we're going to look with Jesus to begin to reimagine. Sound good? All right. A lot of information. Not every Sunday we'll have this much. And we're going to put all of this on a podcast, on the podcast episode for the sermon this coming week, so you can go back and listen. But the question that we are going to hold for a few minutes this morning is, what does it mean to be the kind of church that cherishes others? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look to Jesus. We're going to look to how God formed us. Audrey Breen is our storyteller today. And then we're going to look with Jesus to how we might reimagine. And so let's pray. God, over the next few moments and in the coming days and weeks, would you help us to see you more clearly, to love you more deeply, and to follow you more closely.
Amen. What does it mean to be the kind of church that cherishes other? It's the question the lawyer asked Jesus, the expert in the law. Who is my neighbor? And in his response, this question was asked in response to the lawyer's first question, what must I do to live an eternal kind of life? And of course, Jesus' answer we're all familiar with. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And there's a progression. Jesus is the smartest person who's ever lived. There's a progression to his conversation and his teaching. Many of us want to rush straight to, what does it mean to love our neighbor? We've been in spaces that talked a lot about loving God, but it never seemed to make its way outside of its doors. But the progression, there's a logic to how Jesus is teaching this, that the love for neighbor flows out of our life with God. That the more we come to love God, the more we come to know that we are the beloved of God, the home of God, the resting place of God, the more slowly we become over time naturally the kind of people who are formed to love our neighbor. I asked the kids, why do you think Jesus answered this? Well, I'll give you my maybe more adult answer, because Jesus here isn't saying you shall love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, and soul because it's the right answer. There's something bigger going on as to why Jesus is explaining this answer. Because Jesus' aims are God's aims. Jesus didn't show up and go, all right, time to do my own thing now. Jesus' aims, everything he was doing and saying, were God's aims. And what is God's aim? As Dallas says, the aim of God in history is the creation and the formation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons with God's self included in that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. The aim of God in all of creation and throughout all of human history is the creation, and not just the creation, but the formation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons. Is God outside of this community? No. Does God stop in occasionally when he's in town? No. It's a community that God's self is included in and a part of and sustains as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. And so what is that like? What could that be like to be a church? An all-inclusive community of loving persons with God's self included in that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant, because it sounds like the kind of place that cherishes not only one another, but those who do not yet make their way there. For those who walk away, for those who move on, and for those who come back. And so before I get into how we might reimagine that, I do want to invite Audrey forward. And Audrey and I are going to, Audrey, we're going to sit here. I'll give you your mic. You're welcome. And I have some questions for Audrey, but I told her today, essentially, I'm just supposed to be here so that she doesn't have to introduce herself. So that's my job, is to make Audrey shine, which is not hard, because you shine. She's one of my favorite people. So hi, meet my friend Audrey. Yeah. Well, Audrey, why don't we start with who you are, how long you've been a part of All Souls, how you have served All Souls over the years, and we only have 10 minutes.
So I'm Audrey Breen. My husband Andrew and I have been a part of All Souls. Sorry, left my tissues over there. Since the very first time this community gathered in January of 2009 in the home of Wynn and Miska Collier. Oh, and the serving thing. I mean, when it's a church that small, thank you. You kind of just do everything eventually, which is a little bit my story. So I've been a deacon. I was on staff for a little bit. I've, you know, done all the volunteer roles. I'm currently an elder.
Awesome. Well, some of the earliest memories of All Souls have been rooted in some beautiful expressions of cherishing one another, both those who are a part of our community, those who are not. And so would you mind sharing some of those stories, especially in those early spaces?
Sure. So All Souls, Andrew and I accidentally were a part of this church plant. This was not something we were intending to do. We had not met Wynn and Miska prior to All Souls becoming an idea. We just happened to meet them in the fall of 2008 and hadn't picked a church. We hadn't found one that we wanted. We had only been in Charlottesville a little over a year and were newlyweds, which is just, yeah, the remembering process is so interesting. It's like a whole life ago. So we decided to just take, you know, we didn't really know what was going to be born, and we began meeting in this church home, I mean this home, literal home, and the practices that we started, I think, have been really a couple of the threads that have been a part of this community, kind of the whole, its whole life. We ate together a lot, which I loved. We participated in praying the hours and participating in the prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, which was not something I grew up doing. And so there was this real tenderness, I think, from the beginning of our community of attending to each other individually. When you have a meal with someone, it's very personal. And also, our community was always connected to this global church over space and time. So these prayers, these rhythms, what we were reading together each Sunday night, we did not make up. There were millions of Christians across the planet that were reading those same scriptures and over time had been reading those. And so I think, you know, immediately there was a cherishing of both. You know, there were about 15 of us in this living room, and our first practices, so from January 2008 until May of 2008, was the practice of meals and stories. So many of you hopefully have been able to participate in that act, and that is one thing I'm hoping and looking for is us returning to that practice. So every gathering, which at that time was on Sunday nights, we ate a meal together, and then one person in our community just told their story, and it was very open. You know, we had people who had just finished college, and we had people who were empty nesters. So in one night, you can imagine those stories look different from one another. And then there was also this cherishing of the church, of the global church, of being a part of that. And for me, that was really life-giving. In May of 2008, we left and sort of went public. I remember that being like, Evan's back there laughing, like, we're like, are we really like saying we are these people and then other people can come? That felt really adventurous and brave. And we moved out of the living room and we moved to City Space, which Brendan mentioned a couple Sundays ago, is the sort of city-owned meeting space that's part of the downtown mall. It's like over top of the bridal store and the, more importantly, screen repair store, which we've visited a number of times. And, you know, we continued eating. I remember, I think we didn't eat every week, but we did eat once a month at least. Andrew was like, I'm pretty sure that's the location of the first chili cook-off. I think he's probably right about that. And we began the practice then, too, of really naming. I remember Wynn and Evan and John Chandler, some of the other sort of founding folks, talking about why the name Charlottesville is a part of our name. So we aren't All Souls. There are lots of All Souls. Our actual name is All Souls Charlottesville. And that was very intentional. I think our community is, we are an invitation to what God is doing, really. And I think our hope has always been to listen and to participate in a way, in the way that he is loving this place and this time. And being in the middle of the city on the downtown mall, being able to look out those windows and bless the city was very important. It was a very sort of formational practice. Every week during prayers of the people, I cannot remember if it started then, I'm sorry, but we began naming the neighborhoods, which there are like actual neighborhood names. Like one time we had a map that was like, that's the Venable neighborhood. And so these are like actual districts in the city. And every week we would name a specific neighborhood that we would be praying for. We also have a practice of part of our shalom giving. So we don't talk about this very much, so it would not be a surprise if most of you don't know that we actually give 20% of our budget away. We have a number of organizations that we support, both in the city and actually beyond the city of Charlottesville as well. But that, I think, again, was born when All Souls was born. And a real, I think, hopefully, reflecting the heart of God, that there are ways that we can cherish the individuals within our community. I also want to say, for the record, of every child making noise, like, city space was kind of the Wild West. I think Brendan mentioned, like, there was some, I mean, basically it was a closet that we kind of had a couple UVA students hanging out there with kids. I remember when Henry was born in December of 2009, so this was really like the last month, because we moved here in February of 2010, and we, or March, I think, we did like a sweet little baby dedication for the first time for baby Henry, and my brother and his three kids at the time, and my sister-in-law came, and my parents came. And my youngest niece at the time was barefooted, and my mom asked my brother, like, where are her shoes? And he's like, I don't know. And like, no kids had shoes. Like, that was just sort of what was happening at All Souls. She fit right in. So I do think that cherishing of all kinds of people, especially those little babies who were just running around. And anyway, I'll stop.
Kind of wish you wouldn't, though. Don't I mean that? Is it okay if I go off script a little bit?
Yeah,
ask you to stay
here
for a second. I'm realizing I shouldn't have preached and shouldn't have written anything for after, because this is really wonderful. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go a little off. Here's what I'll invite you to do as you listen. In fact, I want to invite us just to sit for a moment in silence. If you would, just close your eyes and just listen. And then in a moment, I'm going to ask you to share if there are themes, anything that sort of sticks out. Just very gently turn our attention to this story. What strikes you about this? Could be themes, could be acceptance. Acceptance. Come as you are. Come as you are. Genuinely come as you are. Yeah, not like a come as you are, but please wear this. Yeah.
Right.
Hang on. Acceptance. Come as you are. Say one. Ease. I like that word. Thank you, Flynn. Ease.
Authenticity.
Specific time and place, but also being connected to the church for a time and space.
So rooted in a specific time and place, and also rooted in the great tradition of the church, but also the fact that the church is global. Thank you. Messiness. Yes, messiness.
Welcoming.
Yeah.
Connection and intention.
Connection and intention. Thank you, Blair. Does that sound about right?
Does that sound like a church that cherishes others? Yeah. It feels like those things need to be present in a place that would say all are welcome. You're cherished and loved, wherever you come from and whoever you are. Our job isn't to fix you. Our job isn't to correct you. Our job isn't anything other than to create a space for you to know God, know yourself, know God's friends. What do you hope we hold on to?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. I really hope we eat together more. I know this is like a food theme, but
amen. Let's pray. Let's go.
I really there's such joy, and you know it is not lost on me that Jesus eats with people a lot and describes the family of God at at the fulfillment of his work as a feast. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I want to hear stories. I want to hear your stories. So I really look forward to that. And I think about, 14 and a half years later, how different my story is now than the one that Andrew and I were telling, those first months we were together. So I am hoping we hold on to that. There are other things I'm sure that will come up about just beauty and sharing an open space. City Space was the first time we had some sort of gallery, and our friend Hope just pulled out a flute and like played the flute, and it was amazing. And so making sure that sort of space is open for us to share, even just like the way you shared your words. But mostly food.
Mostly food. Food and flutes. I hear that. Does anybody have a flute? No.
Yes.
Do you really? Here with you?
Yes.
I was hoping Chrissy would just stand and rise and begin to play the flute.
Yes.
Very little.
Excellent.
Okay. That's awesome. Wonderful. That's fantastic. All right. Can I pray?
Yeah.
Let's pray, friends. Acceptance. Ease, welcome, hospitality. God, we're able to name these things out of this story, not because we stumbled onto the right technique or program or format, but because you were and are and will be in our midst. And so we give you thanks. And we ask that you would help us in these coming days to little by little become more the kind of people who instinctually offer acceptance, who walk through our days going, not who's my neighbor and who's not, but who might be my neighbor today? Would you help us do that? Would you help us do that? Amen. Thank you.
I'm sorry I have to sneak out. I'm traveling for a funeral. But I love you. I really love you. I love you.
Not quite yet. And I'm serious. See, we're already changing things. The new format's going to be, we're going to listen to the storytellers. We're going to Alexia Davina our way through their stories. And then we're going to pray together in the weeks moving forward. I'd rather hear from them than me. Amen? Aha. Ben, you got the names? Well, friends, it feels very fitting that at a part of this liturgy, after you've reflected or listened to the sermon, that you, in a litany form, pray the Beatitudes together. These are not a list of what you should and shouldn't do, but rather this is Jesus looking out at the crowd he's just healed and going, this is who the kingdom of God's available to. And so my sisters and my brothers, let us recall the blessings spoken of by our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit.
They shall
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. John, I think there's a slide for this. That was, there we go. Anticlimactic. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those persecuted for righteousness' sake.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.